Right. So as when Jeff and I were speaking, Nehemiah was, he was like in the first world countries of 5th century BC. He must have been a high rate income taxpayer. He was possibly very high up in the social hierarchy, very close to the king. And he was the man behind the wall. And I hope that you're not imagining this man. He's also a man behind the wall, but not that kind of the man. He's not a very good comparable. But Nehemiah was pivotal in rebuilding the city wall around Jerusalem. Before that, two more prophets came who did the temple and then taught the Israelites. The book of Nehemiah is also the last Old Testament of historical books. The book is written in first person, so it suggests that Nehemiah probably wrote most of it. It's a good book to read if you want to get a glimpse of history and what profession people were working in 5th century BC, the landmarks in the city, and it brings it alive. It's quite interesting. We've been looking at people from the Old Testament, and although they are amazing men, but they were just men. They were ordinary men who God chose, and they were his people, who were submissive and obedient to Almighty God. Our God is in a business of working through people to accomplish seemingly impossible tasks, and he just chose these people. Nothing special about the people, everything special about God. Our God, he quietly works in people's lives, but at times, when it's needed, we know that he can part the Red Sea. So he can show that as well. So some of us may remember a few weeks ago, maybe, Chris was here and he was preaching and he was talking about life's priorities. It was right after Helena had that near miss, and he was quite emotional. And as he mentioned, it really challenged me. He mentioned right at the end of the sermon, and it just triggered like a series of thought of what are my life's priorities? What is to have God first? He obviously said he kept God first and then the church and then the family, if you remember. How should a life be if God is first? I was very moved. I meet up Chris once in a week just to sort of learn from him and stuff. Just for fellowship. I had a long chat with him. Now, that's not special. Those who know me, I know that I can have long chats. But still an important question. It's a very important question. Have you thought what your life's priorities are? Are they what they should be? Nehemiah, it seems, was very clear on his priorities. Shanet just read from chapter 1. And the book starts in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa. And chapter 1 ends with, I was cupbearer to the king. I don't know why, I just Googled Susa, and it came up. It's Shush now. And somewhere in the study, I found out that it was 150 miles away from Tigris. And I Googled it, and it came up to, okay, I've got a slide there. But 145.29 on straight, if you measure it as straight line. So, I mean, distances don't change in time, of course. But it just meant that the place still exists, and it is really verifiable. Anyway, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He was influential, must have been wealthy. He was definitely safe. He stayed right close to the king. He lived in a citadel. It's like a castle in European terms. He was safe, secured, and wealthy. The book of Nehemiah is full of his prayers. It has a lot of prayers in the book. But what spoke to me the most was he just didn't get like upset about the wall and sort of, just sort of prayed to God, but from a distance, and that's the best part. He didn't pray like, Lord, use your might, raise someone. fortify Jerusalem. He didn't pray like that. He knew he had the skill in his heart, and he had already volunteered, right in chapter 1. In verse 11, it says, "Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." He had made up his mind to bring this up with the king. He already knew. Nehemiah was in a unique position. He was in the unique position to speak to the king. He was a trusted cupbearer who ensured the safety and quality of king's food and drink. Nehemiah was concerned, prayerful, and prepared as he looked for the right opportunity to tell the king about God's people. Each of us is in a unique situation, aren't we? We are capable of serving no matter what our position. Just as Nehemiah used his place as the king's trusted servant to intercede for his people, we can use our present positions to serve God. This was such a priority for Nehemiah that he was willing to ask favors from the king. Leave the comfort and security. It was surely a priority. He could have easily donated money. He could have asked some men to go and build the wall, help people. I think it would have been much easier for him. But Nehemiah knew he had the skill and he is needed. Did he make the wall himself? If you've read further, you'll know that no, of course not. There were a lot of people who worked with him. There were many other people. But he was the one who was asked to lead and coordinate the effort. And he obeyed to God's command. There is no mention in chapter 1 how God spoke with him and how he knew this. But he knew. So many people even today go to dangerous countries to preach, to as a missionary. Some staying here go into like dangerous crime, you know, housing estates and preach there and evangelize there. It always surprises me. When I became a Christian, I started understanding about God and reading the Bible. And it of course, my understanding improved. I started seeing how God sent Jesus in to save mankind. And Nehemiah's story is, in a way, quite similar, isn't it? He was quite safe, and he went down, came down to sort of build things up. And I started seeing how Jesus came to save the mankind and save, you know, life, how his life was on earth, how and what he taught. And it was so different than anything I've ever heard, even sometimes against human nature. And when I joined Slade, I met people who went to Djibouti. I never even knew a country like that existed, and I've decent geography. Because that's not what we aspire to. We don't aspire to go to places like that. I met a couple who adopted 5 special need girls. My own cousin left his job in the Indian Air Force, became a pastor. I mean, I was not in touch with him, but later on I found out. I admire those people. I really admire people like that. They are so clear. They must have had such a clear instruction from God to be able to take decisions like that. You must have a very, very clear instruction. What is on my list? What is my priority? What is your priority? Can God be our priority if I only get fed on his word on Sundays? We see how many times Nehemiah had to pray. I'll just read out a list. Each time he faced a challenge, he sought refuge in prayer. So in chapter 1, he receives the bad news, and he prays. He prays about, what did he pray about? He included God in his plans and concern and prepared his heart and gave room for God to work. In chapter 2, during his conversation with the king, he immediately starts praying, put the expected result in God's hand. After being taunted and ridiculed by Tobiah and Sanballat in chapter 4, He does get angry on God, but he never takes decisions in his own hands or matters in his own hands. In chapter 4 again, after threats of attack by enemies, he showed trust in God, even while taking necessary precautions. In chapter 6, when he responding to threats, it showed Nehemiah's reliance on God for emotional and mental stability when he prays. When he prays in chapter 13, reflecting on the action of his enemies, took away the compulsion to get revenge and entrusted justice to God. And so on and so forth. I mean, there's still a few more prayers there. But you see that he sorts refuge only in God. It's so important, we know that. We still have very low numbers when we are praying. I know life gets tough. I know life gets busy. And I understand that people are busy. It's not possible to attend every house group. But if you've never been to a house group, then can I encourage you to please join in? I know that life is hectic and there are only 24 hours in a day. And something always gets left out. Let's ensure that is not God. So we just pray for that. How is your prayer life? We just sang, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. We know that there's no eyes in the heart. It's obviously spiritual. In Matthew 11, Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, Revelation 3, it says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Obviously, Jesus is not talking about his RE, physical ears. So it's the same ears of our heart and faith. Are we listening with ears? What is God saying to me or you? Is he saying anything? Do we receive any answers? Do we know what his plan is for us? Are we hearing him? I mean, I wish Samuel was in the series. In 1 Samuel 3, God calls out to Samuel when he was ministering under Eli. And I'll just read out just a couple of verses from this. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. This is from 1 Samuel. There were not many visions, quite like now. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. Many of you know the story. God had called Samuel thrice before. And Samuel responded by answering to Eli, the priest under whom he ministered. Why do you think Samuel had difficulty distinguishing between God's voice and Eli's voice? Could it be that he was just because God was whispering? Maybe Samuel was not expecting anyone other than Eli to call. If there will be an audible message from God, it will be naturally for the priest. Eli was experienced. He held proper position in the temple. But God's chain of command is based on faith, not on age and not on position. To find faithful followers, God may use unexpected channels. Be prepared for the Lord to work at any place, at any time, through anyone. But what is interesting, it was interesting when I was preparing this, I noticed that God does not go to the next sentence till Samuel responds. He just keeps calling out his name. And then when Eli suggests Samuel that he should respond by saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, then God speaks the next sentence. It just surprises me. Is God whispering to us and life is too loud? In Nehemiah, the time between chapter 1, which is the month Kislev and Nisan, it's not difficult. If you Google it, you'll know that in today's times, it's about 3 or 4 months. Nehemiah prayed all this time. If you look back on chapter 1, verse 4, one second. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. For some days. That was 4 months. Nehemiah prayed all this time. For 4 months he prayed. Yet, just before the time, the king asks him, and that's again, chapter 2, verse 4. And that is when the king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven. So he's been praying 4 months for something. And yet when the king asks him, he prays again. You would think it's all covered in prayer. He prays to the God of heaven. In the whole book of Nehemiah, we see incidents in Nehemiah resorting to prayer. Praying in faith that God is listening, is able, and will respond. In Nehemiah's case, he did respond. And we saw that in the whole of the list I mentioned. I mean, I know I have put up a lot of questions. A lot of times I had to press question marks. And that is because as I prepared this, I was continuously challenged. I was continuously challenged on how Nehemiah was willing to leave that comfort and do what God has called him to do. We see when he was ready to go, God was truly his number one priority. Could we all be challenged what our priorities are? I was thinking of even doing a little write-up of giving you an opportunity and a moment to write down your priorities and then bring my shredder if you didn't want to look at them. Could I just bring this up and say, have a think of what your priorities are. They are the things that you spend most time doing, mostly. Mostly those are your priorities. If we want God on the top of the list, we will have to ask his help through personal and corporate prayers. So our personal prayer life and the prayers we do together in house groups and Bible studies. Again, I would like to say that we do meet up on Wednesdays. Okay, in summers we're not meeting, but we do regularly meet up on Wednesdays. So if you haven't joined a group, could I please request that you look into that? It really, really helps. It really helps. We also, if you can't make it through the week, we also have Saturday Bible studies. In a few weeks, we'll be discussing and about membership at Abbeywood Community Church, and these things will come up. It's a short sermon, so it's coming to a close. But as a Christian, it should challenge us if our priority is not God, and if our lives do not look like if it doesn't look like God is first. This is the first thing that challenged me. Do we have a brother and sister that we are close enough to challenge, and another brother who is willing to challenge us? Are we close enough to someone? Have we left that door? We all need a Paul and a Timothy in our lives. So that we can be challenged and we are willing to challenge.